Welcome everyone to episode 15 of the Toronto Indie Guys podcast. You got me, Max Brown.
Me, Arthur Maris.
Woo!
Woo! And we have no guests. We're just alone. But that's exciting because we like each other.
And we're going to talk about a lot of cool things going on in the past month and in the next month. So, get ready for episode 15.
That's right. Coming at you in 3D. Put on your glasses now.
I'm already wearing glasses. Because I can't see in actual 3D. But, yeah, first thing we're going to talk about is the Hand Eye Society social that happened on Monday.
The Athleticism social.
July 4th.
Pretty good. Coming up after that, we will be talking about the Sword and Sorcery
concert
that went on a little while ago. And where you might be able to find
videos to the concert.
The videos of that, that's right.
Yeah, apparently someone from RGB Filter, I can't remember his name, he recorded the whole thing on his phone and uploaded them onto YouTube, so we'll provide links with those if you missed it.
Hopefully it's not illegal to be watching that.
I don't really think so. I mean, it's a live concert, right?
Yeah, but, I mean, Metallica doesn't like it.
That's Metallica, though.
Metallica.
Metallica kind of shit.
After that, we'll be talking about the George Brown College and their
announcement that they made last week.
That's right, how they're going to be furthering the Toronto game community or something. Something special about that. Arthur will have news on that. And then we'll be talking about Google.ca. Nope, that's an empty tab. After that, we'll be talking about the scrawl. Don't know what it is? Neither do I, but we'll be reading it to you.
And we also have Game Prototype Challenge. We have Sound Shapes, Game Tree TV competitive finalists, upcoming IGDA meeting, and we were hoping to talk a bit about this, but I couldn't find any information. It's Super Street Fire is raising funds for their project. Once we get more information or once we find something, we'll post it as well.
That's right, that crazy fighting game we were talking about way back when on the podcast.
It was like EP4, I think.
Yeah. EP. These are all EPs now. We're going to release them on vinyl. Little singles of each podcast.
I say EP for episode, not...
Yeah, well, that's too mainstream.
Anyways, guys, so let's get to the first thing, which is Hand Eye Society Social. And it was called Abstract Athleticism.
That's right. It was a pretty damn good social. Yeah, there were a lot of people there. We had our neighbors from the south come up and show us some of the games they've made.
There's about three developers, including the IGF chairman, Brandon Boyer, from New York, and each of them had a game that they were showcasing.
Mm-hmm. We had Ramiro Corbetta with his game Hokra, and that absolutely stole the show of the entire night. Hokra is a four-player game, four nets, two teams, and it's really low res. It's like you control big pixels, basically. But it is an absurd amount of fun. This is the game that we had Canada versus US in. And Canada won.
Oh yeah.
Oh Canada.
It got so wild,
It got wild.
It got really, really wild.
We are not being allowed back in the Gladstone after that night.
Afterwards, after the social, everyone rioted in Toronto.
That's right.
One cop car was flipped.
But then we felt bad and flipped it back over and apologized. But yeah, Hokra was a great game. And it was really... That was a lot of the talk about the athleticism. Like, games really should get not just the players, but the audience in on it as well. You know, have people actually screaming at each other and, you know, really feel that connection between, like, the team. The team spirit, basically, between players.
A lot of which what sports already does.
Yeah, so go blue.
Go
Canada
go
was
orange.
Blue. Go blue.
Oh, yeah, we were blue. Okay.
How dare you.
We'll definitely provide a link to the video and also how you can follow him.
Mm-hmm. After that was Matt Parker with his game Recurse. Recurse was really interesting. It was actually a game for the Kinect on the Xbox.
It wasn't actually made originally for the Kinect, though.
Yeah, that's true. It was made for a webcam, I believe.
Mm.
Yeah, and the entire game is based around There's a picture of yourself, and there will be red or green squares on the screen. You try to move in the green, you don't move in the red, and score points that way. It was pretty good, but the high scores weren't saved, and Jonathan Burton and I lost our high scores.
Oh, what a shame.
We were sad. But that was pretty cool, too, and I think really cool that it's both, like, webcam and
Kinect. So pretty much you can swap out whatever you want, and you don't have to actually have the Kinect to actually play it.
That's right.
Which is pretty cool.
Which is also the day I found out that the Kinect can do, like, medium light to low light environments.
Really?
Like a bar. That's why they had to swap it out for the webcam.
Really? That's kind of a shame.
Yeah,
You'd think that the Kinect would kind of take that into consideration, or at least try and fix it somehow?
Well, no comment.
But that's a different story.
After that, there was Miracle Adventures in 2113 by Noah Sasso. This game is the spiritual successor to an old-school 8-bit game called Miracle Adventures in 2100, I think?
Yeah.
Or maybe not Miracle Adventures. No, it's not Miracle Adventures. It's something. I don't know. It's the spiritual successor and really good. The old game it was based on is really old, apparently ridiculously hard. Arthur's getting a call on his phone.
Sorry, guys.
We're mad at you now, Alex. Yeah, it was a great game to watch. Pretty interesting. It's more about using the enemy's own bullets against them with a magnet you have. It's basically a 8-bit side-scrolling bullet hell. It was really cool to see.
It was. I'll have to be honest, I didn't really completely understand how the game is played until I think I were to give it a try. But the visuals and the 8-bit style really go well together. And the music too. I checked out the music that he has on his website, and it's really, really nice. Really, really nice pixely kind of, I wouldn't say chip tunes, but really nice flow to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And speaking of 8-bit music, just because this is something even I didn't know about, there is an event called Pixel Dance, Toronto's only monthly 8-bit music event. It was very sad to find out I missed this, but if it really is monthly, then what the hell?
There should be another one coming up soon.
Yep. So keep an eye out for Pixel Dance, and yeah, the Hand-Eye Social was really good. The entire talk about, bridging the gap between audience and player, have games not just be for the player, but actually for the
audience,
the people
as well.
Viewing it, yeah. It was really good, and what he was saying, how more games should try to have players yelling at each other, basically.
Or even the audience yelling at the players, too.
Absolutely. Try to make it that much more immersive.
And I find it a real shame, because with that, with the game Hokra and some of the other games that were featured, is that you actually heard the players yelling at each other, and even the audience yelling at the screen. But when you have, a game let's say, for example, Call of Duty, or a lot of the more popular sort of games...
Modern Warfare 2.
It's a lot more solidary. And, even though you see, you see MLG shows and people getting really into that, I still don't think it kind of captures that whole getting the audience into the games. Because watching someone play Call of Duty for an hour, or even 10 minutes, is already boring enough.
Yeah, it's not a very good spectator sport. But maybe it's the fact that it was more a sports game base, or
yeah, that's true.
Maybe it's the fact that it was actually a local multiplayer sort of thing as well.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows?
Because I think that he was also stressing a lot of how button. Mm-hmm. Or at least I was talking to a bit of a bit about it to Matt Parker about button and how it got awarded as an IGF nomination. I think they won an award as well at the IGF. And it kind of gets players to kind of get more immersed into the game they're playing, because it's a lot more physical, it's a lot more real.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so that was the Hand-Eye Society Social. It was at the Gladstone, not the Unibar, so tons of space to talk around and whatnot.
But like I say, we're probably not going to be invited back there.
Really? I think we turned out a pretty good crowd for them to want us to come back
again. Oh, it was a great crowd, but we were rambunctious. They weren't used to our level.
They're like, nerds. I thought they'd be quiet on the computers. Wow, that was a pretty big stereotype.
Cancelled. Moving on.
Yeah. Okay. So guys, next up we had the Sword and Sorcery concert.
During the Midsummer Rock Showcase.
That's what it was called.
That's right.
Fortunately, either myself or Max couldn't go to it.
That's because we suck and didn't buy tickets fast enough.
I had to work, unfortunately. I really, really wish I didn't miss it, but apparently Jim Guthrie is planning on doing a second concert similar to this one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not too sure if it's going to be Sword and Sorcery music or his own stuff or whatever, but stay tuned for that.
Yeah, either way, it'll be really good. So, yeah, as we were saying at the beginning of the episode, there was someone recording this.
Yeah.
Yeah, on the iPhone, and it's up on YouTube somewhere.
But 9 different parts, or 17 different parts?
17 different parts.
Like, they're all one thing, just you can't upload that much onto YouTube sometimes. But I took a listen to a few of the videos, and the audio is not as good as seeing it live, of course. That's with any band you see live. But it's really cool how they had a huge ensemble playing like all the different types of sounds that you hear in the game.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause since the Sword and Sorcery EP is a lot of digital kind of chippy tunes kind of music, but also a lot of I wouldn't say it's not chip tunes. Don't
chippy tunes.
Oh, I see what you did there. You know what? Just go and watch it and have your own opinion on it.
It was good. So it's up there. It's somewhere. If you missed it like we did, take a look. See if you can find it. It's pretty damn good.
Yep. Okay, so next up we have
George Brown College and their magical, fantastic announcement.
Yeah, so pretty much I found out from the Fam590's Got Game or Game On. I can't remember what the name of their podcast is, but I found out that they were going to a meeting with George Brown College, and pretty much they made an announcement saying that that they're going to be expanding the video game industry in Toronto by providing space for startups and small companies to kind of get their projects going.
Mm-hmm. They're calling it the Industrial Incubator.
That's a pretty cool name.
Which I think is sounding a bit more like a place that you have chickens, like a giant complex just laying eggs that hatch into other chickens that lay eggs that hatch, and it's basically this horrible thing. But I think that's an apt metaphor for the video game industry. Aren't we all just chickens trying to run away and not get caught? By Flew the Coop!
I was gonna say that actually when you're saying that. But anyways, the incubator, guys, is going to provide 10 offices between 100 and 150 square feet. Max just hurt his arm.
Oh god, I hit it so hard.
It's because he got really excited about this incubator.
I got so excited.
If you guys want to answer, if you guys have any questions or inquiries of this incubator, we'll provide contact information in the podcast below. Pretty much just find Samantha Fraser on Twitter, contact her there, and she'll give you all the information that you guys want and need. But really, really cool announcement. Definitely pretty sweet seeing the school kind of getting companies more involved.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we're a bit biased towards this because we're actually George Brown students.
Yeah.
But I don't know. From what I've heard, there's going to be a lot of good stuff. I believe that they're not only renting out, like, rooms and equipment or whatever for actual people, like, starting or trying to start up studios or just have small projects going on, but there's also going to be, like, single desk space to be rented out.
Mm-hmm.
So just if you need a place, like, a nice quiet place to work on, like a computer or something, have some resources available to you. Yeah, so if anyone out there is interested in that, we will have the information put down there of who to contact.
It is good to point out that Get Set Games, the company that released Mega Jump for the iPhone and also the Android, they're pretty much in that situation where they got space with George Brown College, and that's when they worked on Mega Jump.
Mm-hmm.
And so seeing where they kind of left off and now they're owning their own studio, it's great to see. It's going to be great to see a lot of companies in the same position, mm-hmm. hopefully being very, very successful and growing. You know, yeah. Right?
Probably was a big factor in them deciding to do this. Mm-hmm. The fact that Get Set was so successful off Mega Jump from working there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So yeah, that's the Industrial Incubator coming up.
And then some quick information about upcoming events happening this month. We have the Scroll and we have the Game Prototype Challenge happening. Now, the Game Prototype Challenge, we've stated a few times over the last few episodes, so don't really need much explaining for that. Pretty much version 7, I think it is going to be end of July. We'll post more information on that. Same thing, you have a week to do it. And you just follow the rules. Now, the Scroll is pretty much a different sort of experiment, and Max just got a call. So
I got a text. That's the difference.
It still interrupted the podcast.
You know what? Now we're mad at John.
All right. So yeah, the Scroll guys is pretty much an experiment where a question is given out every few months, I think it is. And with this question, and you can even choose your own question if you like. But with this question, you kind of can choose however you want to answer it with any type of media that you can. So you can either write a blog post, do a video on it, you can do a music, song, performance, dance, whatever you can think of.
I'm going to do an interpretive dance.
Okay. It's the question for this month is, what are you afraid of?
Interpretive dance. There's just going to be me cowering all over the place.
So yeah, there you guys go. Look out for Max's interpretive dance.
I'm going to call it the Cowering Inferno.
But yeah, so this is the first version of the Scroll. So if you guys want to start getting involved with cool stuff happening, this is the project to get started with.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, there's just pretty good to mention the website here talking about the Scroll. It's they're talking about having a story or a video, writing, sound, song, drawing, comic, confession video, leave Britney alone, blog, video, post, poem, limerick, correction, photos, picture of someone, Photoshop, any medium you can think of. They don't say video games, but they do say any medium.
You could make a video game if you want that.
Yeah, so I'd like to see an entire swarm of video games coming from Toronto towards this.
That would be really cool. I never noticed that in this.
Yeah.
Whoa. So yeah, it's pretty much a second reason to start making games.
Yeah. They describe it as a content experiment, so if you've ever wanted to get all, you know, artsy with video games, now's the time.
So do it. Do it all and do it now.
Yeah.
So that's the Scroll, guys. I'll be taking part of it. Don't want to say my idea like Max did, but...
Towering Inferno. Copyright Max Brown, 2012.
Alright. And then, lastly, I guess some rapid-fire news. Sound Shapes, which was made by Queasy Games of Toronto, the company that made Everyday Shooter, pretty much won some E3 awards this year for their latest game, Sound Shapes. I haven't seen too much footage on it yet, which I'm kind of really excited to see. And apparently it's going to be used on the new PlayStation Vita, or NGP, or whatever it's called.
Whatever they're calling it, the Québécois party.
It's apparently supposed to be one of the launch titles, so definitely check that out and look at it. We'll provide more information for you guys in the next day or so, whenever this episode gets posted.
Mm-hmm.
Next up, we have Game Tree TV competition finalists. Pretty much, I read earlier today that they awarded 3 teams as the finalists for the Game Tree TV Developers Competition, which we stated a few weeks back.
So congratulations to them.
It's pretty much there's a company from Scotland, Canada, and the U.S. And what I noticed about all 3 of the games, though, is that they're more or less puzzle, kind of puzzly, casual games, which I can see for the Game Tree platform. It works perfectly for it.
Yeah, that's pretty much what that's being geared most towards right now.
I'm hoping to check them out and hopefully see if there's like a trailer or some demo footage of these games so you can test them out.
Yep.
We'll feature more on that next EP or next in the next few days. And then finally, guys, we have the IGDA next July meeting. No details have been stated on what it's going to be, but it's going to be end of July.
Yep, so keep your schedules open and your pants on.
So, and also for the IGDA meeting, since they had that survey that they've had everyone filled up last time for event ideas, you might be able to see your event taking place this month. So yeah. But. So guys, that's pretty much EP 15. We had a lot of information to cover. A lot of really cool stuff is going on.
You could really, really tell how enthusiastic and how awake we actually are for this episode.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm gonna edit this out.
My arm's doing better, by the way.
Your arm's doing better?
The one I hit.
You hit your arm?
Canceled. Episode 15, signing off. I'm Max Brown.
No, wait. I don't know why it's a no wait. But yeah. Wait for a pause. Anyways, guys.
How are we going to end now? There's no good way to end.
There has to be a good way to end.
No.
Think of it.
I said end, you said wait. If we end now, it just looks horrible.
I'm going to edit that out. End this out. End this. This is episode 15.
That's what I said.
He's Max Brown.
He's Arthur Maris.
Wait, what? Yeah, Toronto Indie guys.
I'm me?